Robert Griffin III has been out of the game for a few years now, but the Heisman-winning Baylor alum is toying with the idea of returning to the NFL after a recent random 40-yard dash. We'll explain that and more on Locked On Baylor.
You are Locked On Baylor, your daily podcast on the Baylor Bears, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, folks, welcome to Locked On Baylor. I am Drake Toll from Sikkim365.com, joined today by Cameron Stewart, who works in local news as a freelance reporter covering sports. Cameron, welcome back, and thank you for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every day. The newest addition to the top 10 for podcasts watched on YouTube that are in the Locked On College podcast multiverse.
Top 10. How about it, huh?
Top 10. Give it up. You know, Baylor in the top 10. Things that just kind of go together right now.
Number 10 in general at Baylor.
That was a buzz tweet right there. That was a buzz tweet. If you say that, like Baylor in top 10, things that go together. People would be like, yeah, darn straight.
Whoever runs the Twitter account should have done that.
Yeah, they should have. If I could find that guy that runs a Locked On Baylor Twitter account, that dude bangers constantly.
How about a guy who wore number 10 at Baylor and was drafted in the top 10? Finished in the top 10 in Heisman voting.
Yeah. What about specifically drafted at, number 2? Is that what we're going with here? Yeah. Yeah.
That is we're going with because it's true. Yeah.
Can you enlighten me on who you're referencing and what context, why he matters for today's show?
Robert Drake Griffin III of Coppers Cove, Texas. You mentioned in the intro, he's toying with a comeback. I think he was always on board with the comeback thing. I think he is now getting calls, which is interesting because he ran the, 4.48 in the 40, the Rich Eisen 40.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is not as good as his combine time, but is pretty good. It's better than any quarterback ran this year at the combine, by the way. I think Bobby ran a 4.38 at the 2012 combine. 10 years later, 4.48. That's decent, Drake.
It's not
that
bad.
Plays. Can't teach it.
There
are other parts of the job, but you can't teach speed.
Originally, it was like this weird side tweet that someone was like, RG3 runs so-and-so. And then now CBS has picked it up and Yahoo Sports and Fox News, for some reason, did an article on it as well. Robert Griffin III, obviously a Baylor legend and somebody that Baylor fans have just, herald as a hero, as you should. He is more so, I think, than Art Briles. I'll say it. More so than Art Briles was the originator of Baylor football being put on the national map. It's the Heisman winner. Congrats on your Alamo Bowl. I mean, great and all, but how many New Year's Six Bowls did Art Briles win? Not going to get into that conversation. Go Dave Aranda, whatever.
I mean, as many as RG3, but yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. But he also, how many Heisman trophies did Art Briles win? And scene.
That's true.
I win. Robert Griffin III is the ripe age of 32 years old, born and raised in Okinawa, Japan. He was a journalism student at Baylor University. Maybe you've heard of him. He also had a ton of pictures in the journalism department today. And his NFL career, Cam, has been on hiatus for a few years. Not in his own mind, I would say. I think Madden even still has him as a free agent on the video game. The last time he took a snap in the NFL was what year? This is a wild figure that I did not know.
Took a snap in a regular season game.
Yes.
He filled in for Lamar at one point, probably in 2019.
2020, at the age of 30.
He only had a year
old.
Off. I mean, probably before that was like 2016 in Cleveland.
You know it? The year before that, 2018 in Baltimore. He played 18, 19, and 20 in Baltimore. Remember Mark Ingram was there too? You had the Heisman package with Ingram, Griffin III, and Lamar Jackson. 2016 in Cleveland, he was he threw 87% completion, 886 yards in 2016, two touchdowns. People forget. He threw almost 1,000 yards in 2016. 2012, the rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year in the NFL, 20 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, threw for 3,200 yards. The next season in Washington, 2013, throws for 3,203 yards, which is better than what he did in 2012. Obviously, he got hurt, and that completely stunted the trajectory of his career. But, hey, how many hurt guys out there, quarterbacks especially, are running 4-4 40 yard whatever it's
called. Not many. Yeah. And I'm going to say something so controversial yet so brave. RG3, not a bust. This is something I will defend till the end. He's not the only guy. Greg Oden is the same way.
Ryan Leaf's
a bust.
Okay, thank you.
Jamarcus Russell's a bust. Yeah. But like we saw RG do the dang thing when he could play, when he was physically able to play. And I mean, Brown's numbers, those are a wash in those days. I'll just completely throw those out. Greg Oden, when he could play, was a baller. But now he just gets known as the bust. And RG3 is the guy who was picked after Andrew Luck. By the way, had a longer NFL career than Andrew Luck, just putting it out there. And so I will defend those kind of guys to the end, not saying he's going to step in and like be a quarterback right now in the NFL, but clearly the skill was there. Vince Young is a bust.
Yeah.
He was healthy. Well, not like as a normal human being healthy, but healthy enough to play the game. He wasn't tearing his ACL. RG, when he was on the field in Washington, was so good and was only getting better, like you mentioned with the stats there. So I don't know exactly where I was going with that, but I just wanted to defend that he's not a bust.
Thank you.
Now,
so,
the idea that he's going to step back into the league is, but he's not a bust.
Yeah, in 2020, when he played for Baltimore, he played in four games. He started one game, and I don't know if you remember it, but no touchdowns, no interceptions. Of course, it didn't really unleash the old Robert Griffin III, but in one start, four games played, he was 8-for-14 for 42 yards and two interceptions. If I remember correctly, his first pass of that game that he started was an interception. I am almost positive that was the case. So RG3's last time out on the NFL field was not great. Of course, he is no Anthony Bennett. I will give you that. He is not a bust. Anthony Bennett here, RG3 way down there. That is the worst. You can't compare. That's like one of those wild comparisons. But RG3, tell you this, if he doesn't go to the NFL and play next season or at least toy with the idea, it is not for lack of confidence.
That's a good point because I like that he has come out and said the teams he'd like to play for. Like, all right, beggars being choosers, I guess. The Cowboys, that would be interesting coming home. Atlanta, which, look, I could put out there and say I want to play quarterback for the Falcons right now, and it might pick up some interest. And what was the Bears, the other one? Mentoring Justin Fields, I guess. I don't know. RG3, I think he's a good commentator. Maybe that's my Baylor blind.
Great commentator.
Pretty good. Then again, anybody who has ever on social media said he is at least a little bit good at commentary has gotten the all RG3 retweet and like. He likes people to know that other people think he's a good commentator. And this would be great if he starts like getting more and more interest to get all those retweets out there. RG3 likes that a lot. That's like if I became Twitter famous tomorrow, like that's what I would do. Everyone would be like, oh my God, right, this Cam Stewart guy on the Locked On Baylor podcast, hashtag so LOB. Good. I would retweet it all. I don't care who it's from.
Right.
All those fake Adam Schefter accounts, I don't care.
And then it's 4 years later. It's like, all right, I'm confident that if you tag RG3 in something, the odds of a response.
Go for it.
Pretty nice. Cool. Not a bad thing, right? He's a personable guy. He's helping people out. I like that. You know, giving cash.
I will give him this. It's not just for the RG3 fame, because we were talking about this before the cameras were rolling. I actually did a story, local news, a year or two ago that I knew he would be interested in. And so I DM'd it to him, not expecting a response, but literally because he knew this person personally that he might enjoy it. And he watched it and he said he liked it. So there's nothing for him to gain from that. I think he just likes Twitter.
Yeah.
I think he likes Twitter and don't TikTok. Likes TikTok more.
We are now at Ian Rappaport has tweeted, RG3 ran a 4.48 at the Run Rich Run 40 on NFL Network. So it is, if Rap is tweeting about it, there is something here. And obviously, again, no lack of confidence. RG3 has come out and said that his phone blew up. My question, who in the NFL is sitting on their couch? You know, it's you know, April 30th, I think is when he ran it. And they're sitting on their couch and they're like, oh, is that Griffin player running a 4.4? I got to call him. Like,
well, let's put it into context. April 30th, they just had at least, most teams, at least seven chances to pick a quarterback 10 years younger than Robert Griffin III. Like, just had the opportunity. And now they're like, guy can still run.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I thought he was like Barbaro, but no, he can still run.
I'm gonna go nuts here and say that, like, if Colin Kaepernick goes out and runs a 4.47 tomorrow, you think he gets a single call?
It would get a lot of attention on social media.
It would. As it would. Is
I don't know about the call.
And right, it's like, how many players, former players, could run a 4.4? Like, he's a great analyst, man. He's making a career. He's going to make more money as an analyst than he is an NFL football player at this stage in his life.
Yeah.
This is not like a Tim Tebow situation, which did Tebow make any money for his 10 days with the Jacksonville Jaguars? When in history has this worked? He's not Rob Gronkowski. So he's not Tom Brady. When in history has this worked? It really hasn't. But you know what, Cam, has worked?
Please enlighten me.
Junior year Matthew Meyer in a Baylor basketball jersey. That's what has worked for Baylor, and you'll never get it back. Sure. Senior year Matthew Meyer just wasn't the same. But we're going to get to that because Matthew Meyer is gone. Dunzo Bunzo, as the kids are saying nowadays. But first, what also does work is betonline.net. Now, betonline.net is your number one place, the go-to, the A1 place for sports betting, stats, info, lines. Right now, the NBA stuff is going on. They're playing games in the postseason that matter. And so you can go to betonline.net and put your money on these games and watch them with more purpose. Because, if I watch the NBA playoffs without putting money on a game, you know it's not me. I'm not a big NBA guy. But Kentucky Derby is also coming up very soon. And with the Derby back, you can put money on that as well. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action at BetOnline, where the game starts. BetOnline.net. Get in on the action. BetOnline.net. Cam, the end of an era. Our friend Matthew Meyer is gone, either to the NBA or the portal. And you know what I hate about this? Here's what I hate about this. I'm going to ask myself the question. You know what
ask
I hate?
Ask yourself first.
Drake, what do you hate? Well, I hate that this guy helped Baylor win a national championship, right? Spent 4 years of his career, chose Baylor over Texas. He was the hometown UT kid. He very much fits like this UT kind of mantra too, you know, and brought it to Baylor, this moxie. And I just don't think people are going to give him the respect that he deserves now. With the way that this is all unfolded in this offseason, I think Matthew Meyer's kind of going to go away in Baylor lore and never get the exit he deserved.
Well, I don't think he's going to be remembered all that fondly because, I mean, he wasn't like an All-American. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and that's harsh, but like.
You know how many players weren't All-Americans? Macy O'Dea.
I know. But like, how many of these guys, like, how many people like our age or about remember like Terry Teagle. He's one of the great Baylor players ever. You know what I mean? Or Vinny the Microwave Johnson. And those guys were All-American caliber. But there will be some wave in like 10 years of Baylor kids being like, oh my God, they had a guy on the national championship team who had a whole butt mullet, a whole mullet on his head. And he was kind of a baller. And that's what we'll see, like the hoop mixtapes in 10 years, be like, whoa, like, why is it Matthew Meyer playing in the NBA right now? I don't think he's going to be playing in the NBA in 10 years. And that's kind of how he's going to be remembered again. But I don't know that he's going to be a guy who's going to be hanging around the program all that much. And I was a little surprised to see the transfer portal thing. That means like, I'm trying to go to the NBA, trying to play professional, but even if not, I'm not coming back here, like, at all. At all, as Tim Robinson would say.
Yeah, the name...
We could come back, technically. He could.
Well, yeah, it was like a...
There is a world where he could come back.
It's not possible, I guess. The name Josh Lomers, what does that mean to you?
Well, me, as a Baylor historian, it means a lot. Me, as the 12-year-old Duke fan in the Elite Eight, it means double a lot. He and Brian Zubac banging on the boards. Did he reach 7 feet, Lomers?
Seven foot tall.
It was seven.
First team
battling Omar Sandman in the second round, by the way.
Yes.
Or was that the
yes.
That might have been the Sweet 16.
It was. Mount St. Mary's, right? Not Mount
St. Mary's.
Just St. Mary's, not the Mount. Yeah. Leave the Mount off.
Yeah, because it wasn't Houston. You go ahead.
One's Catholic, one's a little more Catholic. So Lomers was first team All Big 12, academic honor roll. So not first team All Big 12. Distinction, academic honor roll. What are the but what happened with Lomers is it's like this peaceful, easy feeling, this exit, this like, thank you for your time here. So
I mean, most have a peaceful, easy exit, especially Scott Drew's players.
Right. And Matthew Myers didn't get that. He got this clunky, like, am I in the NBA? Am I not? Am I with Baylor? I had this read at softball. This show is just already weird. I have this read at a PA book that's fans, are you with Baylor? That's how Baylor's marketing their season tickets for football this year. As if you don't buy season tickets, you're not with Baylor. Matthew Meyer, are you with Baylor? That's my question. That's the question right now. And Baylor fans, are you with Matthew Meyer?
The answer is no. The bigger question is, can you see when I get an email across the screen? Because I just had like three in a row.
No, but something happened with your microphone. It sounds like the glass is breaking behind you now. That's a little behind the fourth wall.
It's the AC with this chandelier I definitely bought and installed. For sure.
I'm glad that we've addressed that, though. For the people at home that are like, what the hell?
And it blows the chandelier, this artwork that I got. I'm telling you, the studio is being built.
The ambient noise.
A little bit of over a month away, the studio will be ready.
Wow.
Anyway, what were we talking about, Matthew Meyer?
Matthew Meyer should be hailed as, in my book, I think Matthew Meyer should get a lot of credit as a Baylor player, and he's not going to get it. I think that he should, and I just wanted to send out a PSA to everyone at home. Please value Matthew Meyer as a Baylor legend. And
well, so, I mean, are you going to remember him more than Jared Butler, though?
Well, you're right. I think you hit the nail on that. You really did, because like my 11-year-old.
Well, Thamba's going to have a great exit.
Oh, for sure.
Well, that's what we said about Meyer last year, too. So.
But my 11-year-old's going to walk into the kitchen and be like, Dad, who's this guy with the mullet? Whatever happened to him? It's just dunks and three-pointers.
And it's like, actually a picture of you right now on the show.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Folks, we've entered the saddest part of the show today.
Are you going to – wait, you're gonna break this now. You're not going
to – I'm breaking now. Breaking news on Locked On Baylor. Matthew Meyer. By the time this show airs, I will no longer have a mullet. Yeah, it's going away. It's going away. After 6 months of hard work and effort, I was pit with a question. Do I perm it, which was an option on the table, by the way, or do I cut it off? And sadly, for everyone involved, cut it off won that argument.
I would like to see the perm, honestly.
Imagine. I would get fired from so
many. Perms are probably better with darker hair, but I think you could. You and what's his name, the BYU transfer.
Yeah. A loner. Him and I could be very similar in that.
My dude looks like a statue in Rome. Like,
he does.
That hair is ridiculous.
Chiseled.
I don't know if it's just the pictures we saw, but
hair's plastic. It's just kind of a helmet that he puts on every morning. It sits so perfectly on his head. It's a wonder. Every picture, it's the exact same. To the hair.
Yes, it's crazy.
The next part of our show, I joined. It's finals week, folks. There's a lot of stuff going on. I've written 55 pages of things on top of Locking On Baylor. And so the last 10 minutes of our show, I joined our friend Doug Branson with Locked On Hornets and talked the Jeremy Sohan conversation about Jeremy Sohan and where he'll be drafted in the NBA draft upcoming. So that's coming up next, a conversation on Sohan and if he'll go to the Hornets or where he'll go in the NBA and what his stock is like. So outside of that, Cam, any last words for the old mullet here?
I'm going to miss it. Honestly, I was so excited to make a grilled cheese after this recording, but now I'm sad. So I'm going to make two.
Yeah, this
I'll just dump one off the side for the mullet. Pour one out.
It's a lot. And by the time this episode airs, it will have been gone for like 18 hours.
Ugh,
yeah.
Never gonna know
so
you.
People wouldn't have even known. It's going to be no.
Watch your tips go down. I'm telling you.
I hope not. Dude, I'm the cowboy hat, you throw that on, automatic.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
Brett Kavanaugh, automatic.
You should get a neck tat instead.
He likes beers. He likes his calendars. Automatic.
Little LOB right on the neck.
Oh, geez. Well, when we come back, it's Jeremy Sohan. But first, for those that are listening on podcast form, a message from our sponsors. For those that aren't, Hey, here's the Jeremy Sohan conversation. That's Cameron Stewart. I'm Drake Toll. Thanks for making Locked On Baylor your first listen every day. And here we go.
Back here on the Locked On Hornets podcast, where we're going to dabble a little bit more into the interviews regarding the NBA draft prospects. And this time we're going to talk about Jeremy Sohan. At least we think that's how we pronounce it, at least at this time. Who's going to help us? It's going to be Drake Toll of Locked On Baylor. You can follow him on Twitter at Drake C. Toll. Drake, how do we pronounce this guy's last name? Because there's many schools of thought on this, as you said.
Yeah, Walker, there's effectively like six schools of thought, and it's really tough. You just kind of throw it against the wall and hope that it sticks in a press conference and then he doesn't correct you, which he's probably not going to. So at this point, we're between Sohan and Sohan. I think the flair of Sohan, if I had to pick the way that Jeremy's going to pronounce his own name, I'm going to say Sohan. But you know what? Let's see how many ways we can pronounce it and then go from there.
You said there are six schools of thought. Are one of those schools of thought Sochan? Because that's where I landed.
That is school of thought number six. Doug, you have to be on the farthest end of the spectrum to get the Sochan. That is like North Carolina, zero European culture, but that's okay.
Also 0 minutes of college basketball watched this season. I think that's the problem.
Well, I'll tell you this. If you times that by, I don't know, 100, that's how many minutes of Hornets basketball I watched this season. So we are right there on par with one another.
Okay, so maybe we're going to learn a little bit more about each other's team. You can watch a lot more Hornets basketball if Jeremy Sohan, Sochan, Sohan, whoever's going to be playing for us here, he will be the draft pick. In an impressive season this past year, 9 points per game, 25 minutes per game, coming off of the bench, only started just once there with Baylor and played in 30, shot 47% from the field, only shot 30% from three, but a lot of people love Jeremy Sohan for his versatility. Is that something you think is probably his biggest strength, Drake?
Yeah, you know, it's that NBA archetype you hear a lot of guys talk about. It's not that a player necessarily was the best player on his team or the best player in college, because don't get me wrong, if I'm looking at who on Baylor's roster is ready for the NBA right now, you know, you got guys like Matthew Meyer, who's been there for a few years. Adam Flagler's a great guard. Kendall Brown, you mentioned too, but Sohan has that potential. The ceiling is really high for this guy, and I think that's what's got him right there on those mock drafts at that 10 to 12 spot. I've seen him as high as 7 or 8 as well. So, you know, his stats are not going to jump off the board to you. What's really interesting about him too is that coming into Baylor, he didn't expect to have the role that he ended up having. You had 3 or 4 injuries. Jonathan Chanwa-Chachwa goes down with an injury. You also have 1-2 Langston Love in the preseason as well that really just sprung Jeremy into action. I remember him saying preseason that he was going to stay at Baylor no matter what. He wanted to be here for at least 2 years. And then he's the sixth man off the bench for a 1 seed in the NCAA tournament. And now you can't pass down the millions of dollars that come with being a lottery pick. So there's a lot of upside. I know he's kind of, I would say there are plenty of areas where he's got to work on his game, but I like what Jeremy brings to the table.
Yeah, and it looks like, you know, the one thing, not the one thing, but one of the bigger problems with him is the 3-point shot and just his overall jump shot. Do you feel like that can come along with his game as he improves in basketball, or is that just something where maybe he's going to be more so kind of a Scotty Barnes, right? Maybe not to the level in which Ben Simmons turned out, but you get the point, that kind of prospect coming into the NBA draft. Or do you think there is, oh no, this guy can certainly develop a shot from deep?
I think a big part of this is vertical quickness. And that's something that I think plays into a basketball player's shot as well. And for Jeremy, he's not completely, his trigger's just not fast enough to be a catch and shoot guy, I think, at any point in time in his career. So I don't see Sohan being a vital part of the offense on the outside for any NBA team. You look at his 3-point percentage this past season at 30%, and that just wasn't his game. He was wide open if he was going to take a three. If it was contested, he's probably passing that thing off. And even the ones that are wide open weren't automatic. So I don't think you're going to get a 3-point shooter or a shooter in general out of Jeremy Sohan at any point in time in his NBA career, maybe from the mid range, but I don't see him developing a 3-point shot. Again, maybe not as dramatic as, you know, especially early days Ben Simmons, but Sohan's a guy that you want to get inside who can make athletic plays and strong plays on the interior. And at 6'9", maybe he's undersized for an NBA forward, but I think that small forward spot is probably going to play him well. He's got to, I mean, he's 18, right? he's an 18-year-old kid, and I think of the guys that are in the top 15 of this NBA draft, he's maybe the least developed from a physicality. They stay like the guy's still got room to grow. It feels like when you watch him play, and that's going to come in the first couple of years in the NBA. And I think that's where he can elevate his game, but I don't think a shot is part of that.
So Baylor obviously had a disappointing tournament run. Take us through the Jeremy Sochan experience in the NCAA tournament. What did you see in those games?
Holy cow, dude. That was the explosion of Jeremy Sochan. I think that question right there nails the reason that he is the top Baylor player on this draft board. When Kendall Brown was a guy coming out of high school that a lot of people were really high on, mock drafts, top 10 pick preseason. And then in the postseason, it was that North Carolina game that everybody points to where it felt like Jeremy just jumped off the page. People were tweeting it. Like, I think Dennis Rodman was trending because people were likening Jeremy Sochan to Dennis Rodman had nothing to do with it trending, and mostly the haircut too, but the physicality, the level of play that he brings to a basketball game that Scott Drew really instills in all of his players, I think it goes a long way NBA wise. Royce O'Neal, for example, right? Like, you look at Royce, and if you are an opposing player, you hate Royce O'Neal. You're like, gosh, dang it, this guy is just the worst. And as someone that, if I wasn't a Baylor fan, I would probably feel the exact same way. And that's what you get in Jeremy Sochan. You're like, I don't want to play against this guy because he's just hard-nosed, tough. And he showed that against North Carolina. He showed that, I mean, it was a short run, so I guess against Norfolk State. But that UNC game won him $500,000 or more dollars because his draft stock, he became someone who was on the map of these NBA mock drafts more so than anybody else in this Baylor team.
See, I mean, you've been watching. I'm going to go Sochan. You went Sochan. I'm going to go Sochan. We'll balance it out. One of us will be right. So on Sochan, you've watched him particularly closely as the host of the Locked On Baylor podcast. And that's what this network is all about. It's about local, that local angle, the local depth. So even someone that did watch one or more minutes of college basketball, unlike me, but someone that did watch college basketball, maybe they know a little bit about Sochan, but what's one thing that you wouldn't know unless you really paid close attention to his story, his recruiting journey, and his time at Baylor?
Dude, I love that question because there's so many. This guy continually in the middle of the season, you'd be like, what? You would learn something new that you're just completely confused about. He was born in the middle of nowhere in Oklahoma and has the thickest mixture of a Polish and English accent. Like, you don't think Oklahoma, he's probably going to sound Polish. And then he sits at the podium and you're like, holy crap, that's the coolest accent I've ever heard in my entire life. And he's just got this way about him that is so, I don't want to say naive necessarily, but like this tenderheartedness that is probably going to go away within the first year of being in the NBA. But he's got this personality that is infectious. Like, you can't help but love the guy off the floor. That's why I was getting weirdly defensive during the NCAA tournament when everyone was tweeting like, this guy's a punk. I wanted to respond individually to all of them and be like, no, I know him. He is not a punk. He is a nice young man.
You wanted to do this Stephen A. Smith. I know him personally.
Yeah.
That He's was a good friend of mine.
I was going to put out a video and everything and like public service announcement, have like a, you know, something really dramatic. But that's what you get is just in the time that I spent around, I was like, I love this guy so much. So certainly is a, not to like a Jimmer Fredette level where you're like, this guy's mascot. He's not that, but he's got this element to him where you're just drawn to a player. And he brings that out really well. I'll tell you on the floor wise, he's not a takeover guy. We saw him do it a few times at Baylor. I don't think he has the vertical speed, the lateral quick. All of it put together, he just doesn't have that put the basketball in his hands, go score 15 in a row to bring a team back. But off the floor, he's going to bring you an unbelievable personality. On the floor, he's going to bring toughness and hard work. He's just, I don't know. I wish I could put it into words. He's like a hug becomes a basketball, embodies a basketball player, but in the best way possible. And that's as close as I'm going to get.
I don't know if that could be a worst way possible. A hug is not a bad thing. I know you
love a good
that.
Hug.
And in fact, I think the best way to illustrate how much you love Jeremy Sochan is the fact that you're up at 9:30 a.m. Central Time as a college student during rivals week, was that a Bang energy drink that I just saw? What did you just ingest there?
I start every day just like this. This is my daily routine right now.
Hey, same. Drake, I am a fiend for the Bang energy drinks. It is like a shot straight to the face, and I can completely understand why you're taking that and to give us some nice and great information on Jeremy.
This is, by the way, this is not an endorsement. That is frying your insides. That is melting.
It's a nap in a can. You can't. It's a nap in a can.
It's like a hug in a can.
It's a hug, but like a slap hug. I just slapped you. Now here's a hug to collar you.
Or more like a slap. Drake, good luck during finals week, man. All the praise to you. Appreciate you hopping on with us to talk about your boy, Jeremy Sohan, here on the Locked On Hornets podcast.
Dude, that luck, I need it. And if he's still available when the Hornets come up, they got to take this guy because he's going to make an impact to whatever NBA team he goes to on and off the floor.
Yeah, and we get a chance to talk again. And hopefully we can do so not at 9:30 a.m. Central Time. That's Drake Toll. Go follow him on Twitter to find out more information about Baylor and maybe even some Sohan tweets. He might come at you if you call him a punk. So if you don't do that, you should be all good. Follow him on Twitter at Drake C. Toll. Appreciate Drake and appreciate you guys for listening to the Locked On Hornets podcast.